Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hello, good friends. Good to see you again, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Bill Press Pod. Yes, it's a big disappointment that Republicans now control the House of Representatives. It's still difficult for me to utter the words, Speaker Kevin McCarthy. But you know, one silver lining is that Democrats, led by leader Hakeem Jeffries, are proving to be a very effective opposition party, not letting Republicans like Jim Jordan get away with all their phony grandstanding. And nobody's better or stronger taking on these Republicans than Congressman Eric Swalwell, like he did last week, blasting Jordan and company for holding a sham investigation into the Justice Department's pursuit of those responsible for terrorizing local school boards.
Threats are being carried out to local volunteers on school boards all over America. And apparently, the majority is here today to defend those who are making those threats, taking time away from hanging out with the January 6th defendants at the DC jail. They're here today to defend threats like this. A threat that says, it is too bad that your mama is an ugly communist whore. If she doesn't quit or resign before the end of the year, we will kill her. But first, we will kill you. That was a threat sent to a child. These guys are defending that threat. They don't believe law enforcement has any business investigating that threat.
So Kevin McCarthy may have tossed Swalwell off the House Intelligence Committee, but he can't shut him up. Eric Swalwell's on the job, and we're lucky to have him join us for today's podcast. Congressman, good to reconnect with you again, and welcome back to the Bill Press Pod.
Hey, Bill, thanks so much for having me back on.
So we saw some tapes this week on Fox News, Tucker Carlson. You were there on January 6th, Congressman. Do those tapes in any way have any resemblance to what actually happened on January 6th?
It's a complete erasing of history in the service of one very, very petty, small man. Donald Trump, right? And in fact, if Donald Trump is going to be the nominee, and it looks like he is, you almost have to rewrite history for him to even have a chance, because the midterm showed that the voters rejected violence and extremism and chaos, and they connected that to Republicans and January 6th. So if Donald Trump is going to be the leader of the party again, they need to completely whitewash what happened that day. And so I see this as an effort of that. And then, Bill, I get the scorn and the outrage at Tucker Carlson. But just as we say at the zoo, don't feed the animals. We say that because the animals can't help themselves. The people can. Kevin McCarthy fed the trolls here. And so he's the one, who should be blamed and should be held accountable. And frankly, this is just the latest installment by Kevin McCarthy for his corrupt bargain to remain as speaker. He put Marjorie Taylor Greene on the Homeland Security Committee. We're harboring a wanted international criminal in George Santos and letting him stay in Congress. And this is just the latest installment, and there'll be future installments that hurt our national security and standing in the world. But again, just in service of really a McCarthy speakership and a future Trump candidacy.
So why, Congressman, can you understand why the Republican Party would undertake as its mission, and certainly most of them have, to dismiss what happened on January 6th as a mere tourist visit when we all saw it on television? I mean, what purpose is served by that?
That, Bill, they're just in this Trump vortex. And frankly, I know many of them don't want to be there, but they're so helpless to speak out against it because, you know, the vocal minority that Trump holds within the party is very vocal. They're very violent. We've seen what they've done, to Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, the primary races that they've run against anyone who would speak out. And so it's easier for them in their mind to just keep their head down than to speak the truth on this. And sadly, the result is that now this footage has been distorted. It's disinforming the voters. And it's also, frankly, a blueprint for how to get it right next time when Donald Trump is unhappy with an election result.
Wow. Yeah. So as someone said to me the other day, you know, Tucker Carlson does not hire himself, right? He is hired, paid by Fox News to tell these lies, to put these lies on television, knowing that they're not true. So what does that tell you about Fox? Would you ever agree to appear on Fox if you were invited?
I haven't in many years, Bill. And you know that I, for many years, Rupert Murdoch told people, and he's told me that I was the chairman of the Fox caucus because the number of times I would go on Fox News and debate Tucker Carlson. And now, you know, just considering the rhetoric and the disinformation and the lies and the fealty to Donald Trump, I don't go on there anymore. And look, this lawsuit by Dominion is piercing through the shield that is very hard to pierce through that news organizations and public figures have. And I think that's because of the malice and the knowledge that these hosts had, but they told the lie anyway. And so it's going to be quite costly. And maybe that's the only way, you know, that we're going to see real reform and changes there.
So you mentioned that this is a difficult moment for some Republicans, seeing all this attempt to reinvent January 6th, if you will. Senator Tom Tillis was pretty outspoken this week on what he thought of this tactic. Let's listen to a quick clip and then get your response, Congressman.
I think it's bullshit. I was here. I was down there. And I saw maybe a few tourists, a few people who got caught up in things. But when you see police barricades breached, when you see police officers assaulted, all of that, or you had to be in close proximity to it, I just don't think it's helpful.
Could this backfire on the Republicans, do you think, Congressman?
Well, I appreciate, you know, Tillis saying that, Bill. If I recall, Tillis voted, I was an impeachment manager in the second impeachment, he voted to acquit Donald Trump. So again, like I appreciate his sentiment here, but when we needed him, when the evidence was presented, and that was before the January 6th commission, and we had a lot of evidence, you know, then, and Tillis, as he said, he lived it. He still gave the guy, you know, a free pass. And so my fear is that, you know, it's just cheap talk in that when it comes to actually holding Trump and others accountable, they're not up for it.
So what do you see now with the House in other hands? Kevin McCarthy finally got the job as Speaker. Who's really in charge over there, Congressman? Is it Kevin McCarthy or Marjorie Taylor Greene or Matt Gaetz, or who's running the show, and how do you, you know, how do you describe what's going on that side of the House?
I would describe it as far as who is in charge in the House of Representatives. Kevin McCarthy has the title Speaker. Marjorie Taylor Greene has the job. And I say that because Kevin McCarthy cannot do anything that Marjorie Taylor Greene disagrees with. And that's a part of this corrupt bargain. You know, he promised that he would come in as Speaker with a large 50-seat majority. It turned out it's a 5-seat majority, and he had to strike a deal with Marjorie Taylor Greene, George Santos, Gaetz, and other extreme members of their caucus. And so he can't go any farther than they will let him. So that's why Marjorie Taylor Greene is leading a we call them congressional delegations. This is more of a terror del. She's going to take her colleagues to the D.C. jail where the January 6th terrorists are being held. And that is just shocking to say out loud. But McCarthy has to sign off on that and allow that to happen because that was a promise that he made to Marjorie Taylor Greene. So she is effectively in charge, and he gets the shiny title, which I think, frankly, Bill, is all he really wanted.
So yeah, let's underscore that for our listeners, Congressman, that Marjorie Taylor Greene is leading a congressional delegation to the D.C. jail, where those who attacked the Capitol and destroyed property and threatened the lives of every member of Congress, including and the vice president of the United States, are being held. Right. And
that's right.
And she's there basically supporting them.
That's exactly right. Imagine, a congressional delegation going to Guantanamo Bay, to sympathize with, Al-Qaeda terrorists after September 11, the last time America was attacked in such a savage way. People would be rightfully outraged. But that's what they're doing, because in their mind, these terrorists politically are affiliated with them.
I also can't help but think, what would their reaction be if Democrats were to lead such a delegation, right? To, let's say, during the Black Lives Matter movement, right? To jails where some people who engaged in violence were being held.
There was violence, at Portland, for example, and I and other Democrats condemned anything that went beyond a peaceful protest. But if I had gone, to a Portland jail to meet with somebody, who had violently attacked a police officer, you would never hear the end of it. I would no longer be in Congress. And it would be a real, issue that Republicans would exploit. And that's why I think as Democrats, we too often let these guys off the hook. We allow them to do this, and we focus on the person who's doing it, but we don't make anyone else pay the price who associates with them. Marjorie Taylor Greene was put on the Homeland Security Committee by the Steering and Policy Committee in the Republican Conference. And so they all should own this, just as they try and make all of the Democratic caucus own, anyone who is outside the mainstream in our caucus when they bring up something. But we're not that great at that. I'm trying to get us better on it, so that if you're not condemning something like this inside the Republican conference, we're making sure the voters know you essentially condone it.
So, Congressman, one other promise that Kevin McCarthy made, we know, is the creation of this special committee headed by Jim Jordan, the weaponization of the federal government. I'd like your take on how those hearings seem to be going so far. It looks to me like they're shooting blanks, Congressman.
Yeah, and this is an obstruction of justice committee because, again, they are using their congressional authority to protect their friends who are under investigation. Members of Congress who are under investigation by the FBI, Donald Trump, who we saw at a hearing yesterday. Many of the questions at the Department of Justice that they had were about the Mar-a-Lago raid. And so when they went into the majority bill, essentially they created the largest law firm in Washington, D.C., but they have just one client, and that's Donald Trump. And so they're going to carry out, his grievances, through this, obstruction of justice committee. And then bizarrely, again, because I grew up in the Republican Party, my mom, my dad, they're Republicans. I married a Hoosier from Southern Indiana. They're Republicans. They grew up with the Pence family. I know the Republican Party. I know their philosophies. I'm stunned that they're spending so much time going after the FBI for wanting to protect parent volunteers and students from people who would terrorize school board meetings. But again, they seem to have a problem that law enforcement would want to do that because the parents who are terrorizing others at these school board meetings share, MAGA beliefs. And so, again, this is not my parents' Republican Party, and you're seeing that play out through this obstruction of justice committee.
And one difference that we're seeing, as we know, Kevin McCarthy refused after Nancy Pelosi rejected the most extreme members he wanted to appoint to the January 6th committee. Nancy Pelosi was able to appoint Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. But the Republicans otherwise kept away from that hearing. Democrats are not making the same mistake on the Jim Jordan hearings. Who made that decision? And by the way, you have to agree, that was a very smart decision, right?
Oh, absolutely. We want to be there, and I call it a 3D approach. We want to discredit them before the gavel even drops to start the hearing. So it's discredit, debunk any points that they try and make, and then deliver by pointing out what we did in the last 2 years and what we will do when we go back into the majority. And for example, yesterday I led a hearing on the Democratic side over the Department of Justice and what they are calling, you know, non-compliance over subpoenas. And so, Bill, before we started the hearing, we made it clear on our side that it's very rich that Jim Jordan would want to have a hearing about subpoena compliance, considering that he is completely out of compliance on the subpoena that was issued to him. And in fact, he was referred to the House Ethics Committee for violating his congressional oath and not honoring his subpoena. So we have to discredit them when they try and, you know, land, you know, nonsense or, you know, make false claims. We have to debunk those claims. But again, pivoting back to what we would be doing with our time and the power of Congress, if we're in the majority, I think is important so that people know what goods for the country would be delivered.
The three Ds.
Yeah, discredit, debunk, deliver.
very good strategy. And you were bounced from a committee by Kevin McCarthy. What was your reaction to that? You knew it was coming.
It's vengeance. And what we're coming to see with Kevin McCarthy is every response he gives when he's cornered is noun, verb, swallow. It's bizarre, Bill. He was asked yesterday why he turned over the 40,000 hours of security footage to Tucker Carlson. And he said that much of the footage was turned over by me a year and a half ago, which again, like I don't even know where that comes from. It's clear that I am occupying space in his head. I can tell you from being inside there, it's very empty and lonely. But yes, it does feel like political vengeance, but I still remain on the Judiciary Committee and the Homeland Security Committee. And if he thinks that kicking me off of Intel or kicking Adam Schiff off of Intel is going to keep us quiet and keep us from speaking out against the MAGA nation, he's wrong. It's just going to give me more time to organize and make sure we go back into the majority.
Yeah, well, he sure is obsessed with you and can't hide it at all. So, Congressman, we want to take a quick break here on the Bill Press Pod. Hold on just a second till we thank some of our good union sponsors of the program, and then we'll be right back. And today's podcast with Eric Swalwell, Congressman Eric Swalwell, I should say, is brought to you by the Teamsters Union, the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, led by President Sean O'Brien. Yeah, he's the labor leader that you saw taking on Senator Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma last week, demolishing that Republican senator in testimony in front of the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. The good men and women of the Teamsters Union under President O'Brien's leadership, representing every aspect of the American labor movement, from vegetable workers in California to construction workers in Las Vegas, bakery workers in St. Louis, and zookeepers in Philadelphia. That's what they say. They represent everybody from A to Z, from airline pilots to zookeepers. We salute the good members of the Teamsters Union and thank them for their support of the Bill Press Pod.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back with a very special guest today on the Bill Press Pod, Congressman Eric Swalwell, good friend from California. Congressman, again, thank you for joining us. President Biden is out with his $6.8 trillion budget. I'm sure you haven't had a chance to read through every line of it, but in general, what do you think of the president's priorities?
He's prioritizing families, you know, hoping that we can finish the job and expand paid family leave for all from a federal government benefit to something that every family in America can have. It's almost 90% of other countries in the world have it. And so it's time that we have it in America. He's making the child tax credit permanent. And I can tell you, as you know, a father of three kids, aged 5, 4, and 1, that child care is everything. And you know, that tax credit and getting it on a monthly basis, I heard from so many of my neighbors and constituents that went a long way in making sure that you could plan and pay for childcare. And so that two parents in the household could also have the ability to work and support the household. He's investing in expanding Medicare and making it solvent for another 25 years. And I know from my district in the Bay Area that we are so fortunate and we're victims of success when it comes to advancements in medical technology. We're attacking cancers earlier. We've found immunotherapies on many rare diseases. And the good news is in the long term, we're gonna live longer and healthier lives, but we're still gonna need health insurance. And so we have to make sure Medicare is solvent is, you know, we see people live longer and have greater medical needs. So it's, as I said, it's pro-family, it's pro-safety. You know, we want to do all we can on gun violence and, you know, pass background checks, fund gun safety, you know, science so that we understand on the mental health side what we can do. It's pro-housing, you know, major investments in affordable housing, and we have a great need. We've got one of the largest, I have the highest rent, the fourth highest rent in the country in my congressional district, the 11th highest median home value, we have one of the scarcest home inventories in the whole country in my district because of a lack of housing. So that'll go a long way. So it's an ambitious budget. It's one, as I said, if he's given another term and we have a majority in both the House and Senate and we're close, we can finish the job on so many of these priorities.
So, of course, the president realizes that it's going to require some discussion, some negotiations. He said yesterday in Philadelphia when he introduced the budget, I'm ready to sit down with the speaker at any time. He can show me his budget, I'll show him mine, and then we can start talking. So where is the Republican budget, Congressman, and when are we going to see it? Do they even know what they want?
Hakeem Jeffries said yesterday, Bill, that the budget is in the witness protection program right now. I thought that was pretty good, and he's a pretty good messenger. And the problem is we were promised a border bill immediately, and you know, there are some like Chip Roy who are calling for cruel border policies, and then there are others like Tony Gonzalez who has credibility on this because he's got about 900 miles of the southern border, and he's pumping the brakes and asking for them, you know, to be more humane, secure, and thoughtful. And so they don't have the votes to even put forward a border security bill, let alone something much larger like a budget bill. We do know that in this corrupt bargain, an installment that is coming is $75 billion in cuts to the troops at a time that we're trying to keep Ukraine in their fight. We're getting ready for a showdown with China in Taiwan. North Korea last week threatened that they are ready, you know, to take extraordinary actions against the United States. And of course, Iran, again, is helping Russia, threatening Israel and the U.S. And so there's a lot of threats around the world. And I always support like leaner, meaner alliance led defense plans. But to just cut across the board $75 billion because you're siding with an isolationist like Matt Gaetz, that's not going to make us safe. I think that's why you're not seeing a budget yet or a border bill. Again, is he's beholden to the most extreme in his conference.
Well, there are also voices in the Republican caucus who are saying that we have to balance the budget, right? I mean, these are born-again fiscal conservatives, it looks like, Congressman, right? Where were they under Donald Trump?
Yeah, no one ballooned the deficit more than Donald Trump with, you know, his tax cuts, you know, that benefited, you know, the wealthiest in this country, took away a, you know, middle and working class benefit that my constituents had, who were homeowners, you know, in the SALT deduction, and really led to an outrageous amount of stock buybacks by corporate America that just, you know, lined the pockets of people who were already pretty well off. So if we repealed that, that would actually do more for the debt and deficit than anything the Republicans are going to propose.
But of course, that's something they'll never go along with. But so as you mentioned, this a lot of the president's budget is aimed at fulfilling some of the things he talked about was not able to get done in the first 2 years, basically finishing the job, as the president might say. What kind of marks do you give Joe Biden for his first 2 years, Congressman?
You know, Bill, he came in with, you know, a historic crippling health crisis with COVID, a country that was attacked from the inside after January 6th, and an economy that was on the ropes. And as a parent, you know, also the just quality of life for many parents with our kids stuck at home and us trying to work from home was really debilitating. And within a year, main streets are open, churches and synagogues and mosques are open, schools are open, America's back to work, 310,000 jobs added last month. The infrastructure bill that every president has talked about and campaigned about, Biden did. The crazy idea that Medicare should negotiate for prescription drug prices. Every Democrat who's run for president in my lifetime has talked about that. Biden did that. The first gun safety legislation passed in 30 years after a carousel of mass shootings. Biden delivered on that. China's dominating in the semiconductor space. And so we invested in the Bipartisan CHIPS Act. And of course, the Inflation Reduction Act, which, you know, will cap insulin costs, out-of-pocket prescription drug costs, and make the greatest investments in climate. He did all of that in 2 years. He did all of that with the +4 majority in the House and an even Senate. Imagine what he would have been able to do with Franklin Roosevelt's majorities during his time. And so I think he has every right to tell Americans, give me bigger majorities in the House and Senate, and I'll finish the job.
Does that mean he's got every right to run again in 2024? Should he, and will, if he does, will you support him?
I'm all in for him. And, you know, I'll tell you, Bill, I ran for president wanting to make the case for a new generation of leadership and, you know, someone who had a number of years of experience in the House and in national security. And all over Iowa and New Hampshire, there was a lot of excitement about some of the younger candidates in the race. But there was a lot of anxiety about the crisis after crisis that Trump had put us into. And I heard over and over, you know, we can't roll the dice on someone who's not seasoned and experienced. And this was even before COVID. And so in many ways, the voters knew, it's like they had a sixth sense that something even worse was going to happen. And we got behind Joe Biden. And it was the right call then. He's validated that decision by the voters. And has every right, you know, to run for a second term and finish the job. And I hope the voters not only give him the job again, but recognize giving us one more seat in the Senate and a majority in the House would allow us to reform the filibuster and truly finish the job.
And Congressman, we know Californians, there's another big election up in 2024. Senator Feinstein is not going to run for re-election. Are you going to run for that seat? And if not, who are you supporting?
I'm all in on that seat for Adam Schiff. And Bill, you know, for 8 years on the Intel Committee, particularly the last 6 years of that committee, we got a PhD in, you know, Russian interference. We did a lot on Russia and Ukraine, and we had almost zero partners across the other side and dealt with a lot of obstruction. And hearing after hearing, whether we were in the minority or leading the first and second impeachment, Chairman Schiff was just unflappable, fearless, prepared. He's made of integrity. And so I saw him, as I said, in those, you know, trenches. And to replace someone like Senator Feinstein, you know, just a giant in the Senate, it's going to take somebody like Adam Schiff. So I'm all behind him. We're at a crossroads in California. You know, we are losing. We've lost Speaker Pelosi. You know, is the Speaker of the House. We're going to be losing Senator Feinstein, and so we're going to need people who are ready day one to step up and deliver. And Adam absolutely is.
Well, you, Congressman, are a big part of the leadership for California in the United States Congress as well, for which we are very grateful. So thank you for your good work, and thank you for spending some time with us today on the Bill Press Pod.
My pleasure. Thanks, Bill.
And that's it for today's podcast with Congressman Eric Swalwell, one of the strongest, one of the best Democratic members of the House. We thank him for his leadership. Thank him especially for joining us on the Bill Press Pod, and thank you for joining us as well. And invite you back on Friday, where we will look back at all the big news of the week from our nation's capital with three of our top political reporters. That's our political roundtable. We know you always look forward to it. So have a good week. We'll see you again on the next edition of the Bill Press Pod, Friday's Roundtable.